Alison and Jonathan are going to come and read to us from God's word, and then Lisa's going to come and speak to us. Thank you.
The first reading this morning is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, reading from verse 7. Remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not let all kinds of strange teachings lead you from the right way. It is good to receive inner strength from God's grace and not by obeying rules about foods. Those who obey these rules have not been helped by them. The priests who serve in the Jewish place of worship have no right to eat any of the sacrifice on our altar. The Jewish high priest brings the blood of the animals into the most holy place to offer it as a sacrifice for sins, but the bodies of the animals are burnt outside the camp. For this reason, Jesus also died outside the city, in order to purify the people from sin with his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and share his shame. For there is no permanent city for us here on earth. We are looking for the city which is to come. Let us then always offer praise to God as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess him as Lord. Do not forget to do good and to help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your leaders and follow their orders. They watch over your souls without resting, since they must give God an account of their service. If you obey them, they will do their work gladly. If not, they will do it with sadness, and that would be of no help to you.
The second reading is from Revelations chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace be yours from God, who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits in front of his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first to be raised from death, and who is also the ruler of the kings of the world. He loves us, and by his sacrificial death, he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To Jesus Christ be the glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All peoples on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the truths that are revealed in your word. And we thank you for your spirit that brings your word to life to us. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning that you will open our hearts and minds and give us a deeper understanding of who you are. And as we draw nearer to you, Lord, I pray that you will inspire us and encourage us and equip us to continue your mission in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, as you've already heard, is Vision Sunday, and we are launching our new series for the autumn, which we have called Changing World, Changing Church. September, for me, always brings home the fact that the world around us is changing and things are moving on. I am someone who loves the sun, and so September sadly signals to me that it is the end of the summer and the approach of autumn. As we've already seen, it's also the start of a new school term, and that means changes for children, many of whom are starting a new school year, but some start a new school. And of course, changes for children means changes for parents. perhaps some little ones are starting school for the first time. Older ones are maybe heading off to university. Life is not quite the way it was last year. And in some ways, September feels a bit like a fresh start, albeit a little bit daunting at times. I think this September, perhaps more than ever, I am aware of the changes that are surrounding us globally, nationally, and for us here at CBC. It would be easy to think that with better technology and greater developments in the world, it would make the world a safer, healthier, and happier place to be. But we all know there are many ever-growing, complex issues. Things around the environment, terrorism, war, migration, poverty, to name but a few. In fact, I've heard it suggested that at best, all we can do is seek to lessen the destruction in a world that's spiraling out of control. Then, of course, there are the changes that we as a nation are facing as we try to work out what it means for us now that the decision has been made to leave the EU. And I don't need to remind you that as a church, we are facing even greater change as we prepare for Martin and Carita to move to Oundle, and we see the shape of the ministry team here change significantly. As individuals, I'm sure many of you are thinking about the changes that are facing you at this time. Change can be an unsettling time, and it can be an exciting time. So what do these changes mean for us? How do we hold on to our faith through the changes? And how do we share our faith relevantly in an ever-changing world? That's going to be the focus for our Sunday morning services throughout the autumn. And today, in particular, we are reminded that no matter what changes we are facing, we can have confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The changes that we're facing may well be very different to those facing the people when both Hebrews and Revelation were written, but the truths contained in them are very relevant to us today. So to help us understand them, I want us to look firstly at what was happening at the time those books were written. The book of Revelation was written at a time when Christians were being persecuted for their faith, and there were questions emerging from the Christian community as to why they were suffering. Where was God when this was happening? How should they respond at a time when they were being surrounded by other religions, and in particular, the growing worship of Caesar, the Roman emperor? Had they got it wrong? Were they wasting their time? This book consists of a series of revelations and visions that John received, which brought hope and encouragement to the believers to remain faithful. Now, the letter to the Hebrews was also sent in order to encourage the Christians not to give up on their faith. Times were hard for them too. Many of those believers had also been persecuted. Some had been put in prison. Others had been assaulted. Some had been attacked in their homes and robbed. And all of this because they were following Jesus. Now, understandably, the impact on the believers was pretty severe, and some of them had begun to waver in their faith, while others attempted to water down their commitment by compromising their way of life, both to make them blend in more with the world around them, but also a little bit to hedge their bets in case there were other ways of finding happiness. In particular, some of the Hebrews were now also being distracted by strange teachings involving food laws. Now, it's unclear whether these new teachings or whether they were just aspects of Judaism that the people were bringing back into their religious way of life. But either way, the writer makes it clear these teachings were in conflict with the gospel of grace that they'd received through Jesus. We heard in verse 9, it is good to receive inner strength from God's grace and not by obeying rules by foods. In fact, it is good was probably a little bit of an understatement. It's more likely it is necessary to receive inner strength from God's grace. So these verses were written to urge the Hebrews not to give up on their faith, not to try and merge their faith with other religions or traditions, not to be distracted by false teachers offering them something else, but to hold on to the truths of what they knew about Jesus. I have to say that I don't think the Hebrews were that different to many people today, both Christians and those who don't yet believe. Aren't there times for all of us when we struggle to see where God is in the midst of challenging and difficult situations? For some Christians, we can be in danger of trying to prop up our faith, almost even becoming superstitious in the way that we rely on rituals rather than on Jesus. The ways that we grow close to Jesus through prayer, through reading our Bible, through quiet times, can become quite legalistic and lose the fact that they should be stemming from our love and relationship with God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. I really believe that persevering in those disciplines, especially when we feel far from God, is absolutely essential. And I strongly encourage, in fact, urge every one of us to do so. But when we begin to think that because we haven't spent time with God, or because we didn't read our Bible before we left home in the morning, that means we're going to have a bad day, as if our quiet time or our Bible reading is a kind of lucky charm, well, then that is something different. And like the Hebrews, that's the time that we're in danger of relying on rituals rather than relying on our relationship with Jesus. For other people who've been hurt or perhaps disillusioned with the church, the spiritual hunger within them may well lead them to listen to false teachers. Teachers who seem to offer them something that is far more attractive, or perhaps far less demanding, in the same way that the Hebrews were also being distracted. When life is hard, when changes in circumstance leave us feeling unsettled, it can be really difficult to understand God's plan. And in those times we do feel distant to him, we can easily be tempted to look elsewhere for help. And so in our changing world, the words to the Hebrews and John's words from Revelation are extremely relevant to us too. The basis for the encouragement in both books is to hold on to God because he never changes. Verse 8 of Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 8 of Revelation chapter 1 says, I am the first and the last. Perhaps some of us know it better as I am the Alpha and the Omega. Who is, who was, and who is to come. Yes, the world around us is changing. Yes, our own lives may even be changing. But we can have confidence in the fact that through everything, everything, Jesus is with us. He is eternal and he is changeless. And we can trust in him both for who he is and for all that he has done in his sacrifice on the cross. There are times for all of us when we feel closer to God than at other times. Times when we perhaps experience his power more or sense his presence with us more. And times when we feel distant. And we need to remind ourselves that God does not change. God is still as powerful as we have known him to be in the past. God still loves us just as much. God still has a purpose for us and wants to share in every aspect of our lives. God is the same. Therefore, he can be relied upon. We can trust him to be who he said he is and who we have known him to be in the past. That's why the Hebrews were reminded to remember their leaders of the past, to recall their teaching, to reflect on the way that they'd lived, even to remember the confidence they had as they died. The God that Hebrews knew then is still the same. And he is the Lord who will reign forever. And so they were encouraged to use their memories of the past, not to help them dwell in the past, but to motivate them to follow the example of those leaders and to worship God and to continue to serve other people. The Jesus that they knew yesterday is still the Jesus that they knew that day. The Jesus we have known in our past is still the same Jesus that we worship today. As we hold on to who Jesus was and is and always will be, so we can also hold on to everything that he has done for us. Interestingly, both these passages, in just a few verses, emphasize three roles of Jesus. The role of Jesus as prophet, the role of Jesus as priest, and the role of Jesus as king. Revelation talks about Jesus the prophet who came as a faithful witness to God's plan of salvation. Jesus the priest who offered himself as a sacrifice in order to free us from our sins. And Jesus the king who is the ruler of the kings of the world. Similarly, that theme, Jesus as prophet, priest and king, is detailed throughout the whole book of Hebrews. And the author in these verses is building on his previous teaching, reminding them that Jesus was the great high priest who died to purify them from their sin, that now he's in the presence of the Father, interceding on their behalf, and one day he will return to reign in the fullness of God's kingdom. What Jesus has done through his death and resurrection cannot be undone. It will never change. Even though our lives change, even though the world around us changes. So like the Hebrews, we can hold on to the truths of what Jesus has done for us. And we can also have confidence in the fact that God is still at work. He has a plan. You know, there's nothing that takes God by surprise. There's nothing that catches him out. The troubles, the difficulties, the things that cause us to wobble, these are all only temporary. God is working his purpose out. He is building his kingdom, and he does have a part for every single one of us to play in his great plan of salvation. Of course, the recipients of the letters to Hebrews and John's Revelation were understandably questioning what was happening to them. And the questions weren't wrong. They made sense. And I'm sure many of us too have experienced times when we've struggled to see what God was doing or understand his plan. In our minds, things just don't make sense. We have to remember that we can't see the whole picture. And we will never be able to fully understand how God is at work. But as we hold on to the truths of who Jesus is, and what he has done, we can draw nearer to God and ask how he wants us to respond to the changes around us. These verses that we've heard read this morning have a personal challenge to each one of us, to strengthen our faith and to trust more in the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But they also have a corporate challenge to us as we seek to engage relevantly with the ever-changing world around us and make a difference wherever we are. One commentator, interestingly, suggests that when the author of Hebrews refers to us going outside the camp in the same way that Jesus did, he wasn't just referring to the fact that Jesus was crucified outside the city walls. He's also urging the Hebrews not to hide their faith, but to go outside and to share it where people were. I think that's a really interesting take on those verses. And it is true that part of our purpose in serving Christ is to recognize that he has called each one of us to be missionary people, to share the good news of salvation with those around us. I'm sure I don't need to tell you this morning that we are living in a postmodern culture. Although Jesus is the same and the gospel message is the same, the way that we present the gospel message may well be different as we seek to engage relevantly with the people that we meet. Whether we like it or not, culture shapes and influences us and the people around us. For us as Christians, we need to learn how to stay true to the gospel, but at the same time still be able to express our faith in ways that are relevant to the world around us. Now, one of the principles of postmodernity is that there is no meta-narrative. What does that mean? That means that in the postmodern era, people have rejected the idea that there is any kind of big story. There's no need to see history as linear, as having a beginning and an end. People say, life happens. It's just a series of events, experiences, encounters. We don't have to try and make sense of it because there is no reason or purpose to it. Now, the scriptures we've heard this morning tell us that is not true. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There is a purpose to life. And each one of us can discover our purpose in Jesus. These words speak very clearly into our culture today. But we have to learn how to best communicate these truths in ways that it will enable people to draw nearer to Christ. John's words in Revelation spoke in ways that his listeners would have understood. He used the words Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, language that would have been familiar. He also used the phrase, who is, who was, who is to come. This phrase had previously been used to describe the Greek god Zeus. But now here was John using those words to help people see who the living God really is. As we reflect this morning on God's words to us, we're reminded that Jesus is the same. The gospel does remain true, but the world around us changes. And so how we engage with the world may also have to change. Maybe the language of Alpha and Omega is not so accessible in our culture. But the idea that there is a big plan, that we can discover a purpose to our life, well, that certainly is. As people despair with what they see in the world around them, as they wobble at their own unsettling experiences, we can speak words of hope and comfort to them. We can plant those seeds that say that these things are temporary and that God is at work. God is working his purpose out. We can share our experience of discovering life and purpose through Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But he's also here at work in the in-between times. He cares about what is happening in our lives now. These truths give us confidence and courage through all the changes that we are facing at this time. But they also act as a catalyst to share the truth of Jesus relevantly in our culture today, so that God's kingdom will continue to grow and his purpose will be accomplished. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on what God is saying to us individually, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that in our changing world and in our changing lives, we can trust in you because you never change. Thank you that your love for us remains the same, whatever we've done. Even if we've wandered away from you, you've never stopped loving us. And Lord, I pray for each one of us this morning, and especially for those of us who are facing changes in our lives, changes that perhaps are making us feel unsettled, changes where we're struggling to see you at work. Lord, I pray you will help us to draw close to you and to know you more. Help us to trust in you and to learn how you are leading and guiding us, helping us to navigate our way through these changes and stay close to you. And Lord, for each one of us too, I pray you will teach us how to engage more relevantly with the people around us. As we seek to understand our culture more, help us to be able to offer those words of hope and comfort as we share your truths and enable others to come to know you as the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and discover your plan and purpose for their lives too. In Jesus' name, amen.